seen the commercials for them on TV, reverse mortgages. But is there more to them than meets the eye? Hi, I'm Rob West. There's no doubt that a reverse mortgage could make your retirement years more comfortable. Are there other reasons to take advantage of them? Harlan Acola joins us today to make the case. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest is Harlan Acola with Movement Mortgage, which is an underwriter of this program. Harlan is also the author of the book Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, The Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement. Well, that's quite a title. Harlan, great to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
You know, Harlan, most people think of reverse mortgages as the bank paying you instead of you paying the bank, and I know that's certainly a part of it, but how might you describe the bigger picture around reverse mortgages?
Well, I think it's really way simpler than what people make it. We put money into savings accounts, IRAs, 401ks, so that we can take money out in the future. All that a reverse mortgage does is be the key that unlocks the ability to use some of the money that we put into an investment that 80% of us have by the time we reach 62, which is our home. And it's a safe, guaranteed way, guaranteed by the government, to be able to use some of the money that you've put into the house over the years.
Yeah, which could be a real blessing for a lot of folks, especially those who are ill-prepared for retirement. But you'll make the case today, perhaps it even goes beyond that. We'll look at that. But let's start with the different types or forms of reverse mortgages.
Well, the biggest thing that is super important to explain right away is that there were old reverse mortgages before Federal Housing Administration got involved during Reagan's term that were really not reverse mortgages. It was a loss of ownership. They were called shared equity loans. Those are relatively dangerous for most people, and you lose ownership of the house. What Movement Mortgage does, and what I've worked on for the last 20 years, is a reverse mortgage that is an FHA home equity conversion mortgage that allows you to use somewhere between 30 to 50% of the value of your house and is guaranteed that you will never be upside down and never be required to make a payment during your entire lifetime. So there's a dramatic difference between the old and the new, so to speak, that came out in 1988.
Yeah, let's build on that a little bit, because this is a big idea. Regardless of how long you live, you will never owe anything in terms of having to pay it back unless you sell. Isn't that right?
That is correct. And you're always protected from the downside that if you die in a bad year or you simply need to sell in a bad year, like 2009 when home values were down, you are never required to pay the difference. So if your home, if you actually owe more than your home is worth, you're not responsible for it. It's an insured loan and the FHA mortgage insurance pays that. That is a very important safeguard. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be involved with the product if that was not there, because we cannot guarantee a future value of the house.
Yeah, and that's a really big idea. Harlan, are reverse mortgages ever misused?
Well, I wrote a chapter in my book that seems to be turned to a lot called Drugs, Sex, and Reverse Mortgages. And yes, they can be misused, just like drugs can be good or bad and sex can be good or evil. And reverse mortgages can be misused, just like investments can be. I mean, think Bernie Madoff, FTX, where many people lost millions of dollars. If any financial product out there is not understood and properly used, it can be a detriment instead of an advantage.
Yeah, but you're making the case today that perhaps we've had a more narrow or a flawed view of this product in the past that you want to correct, right?
Well, yes, we're so concerned about that because everybody thinks this is where you lose your house and you're mortgaging your future and you're hurting your children. You're putting yourself into a situation like a credit card that you might not be able to afford to pay in the future. This is the only mortgage loan in the country that is guaranteed to be safe, that you never have to pay it back until you permanently move out of the house, which is usually death or, of course, moving. And at that point, you cannot be upside down. But whatever is left belongs to your children. So it's not like you've lost the value of the house.
Harlan Akala with us today from Movement Mortgage. We're talking about reverse mortgages, what you need to know so you can make an informed decision about whether this might be right for you. When we come back, we'll talk about how this relates to the kids, if you want to leave the house to them. What about your retirement income? And what about your giving opportunity that might come from a reverse mortgage? Harlan Akala here. When we come back, much more on reverse mortgages. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What is this all for, really? Why do Christians care so much about following Jesus? Why do we spend so much time praying and talking to others about Christ, reading our Bibles, singing, going to church? What is it all for anyways? So often I've been asked that question. And if I'm honest, many times I've found myself asking that question. Why am I doing this? Paul's words in 1 Timothy 1 ground me. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Why do we do it? This is where a pure heart comes from. Christ centers us on himself, and our faith follows. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Are you completely sold out to God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
God knows if your heart is wholly devoted to Him or not. Now, wouldn't it be cool and exciting if you had a heart that's passionate, that's in love and on fire for Jesus Christ?
Learn how to give Him your all and gain everything that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Harlan Akala with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. We're talking about reverse mortgages. And you know, folks, here on this program, our heart's desire is that you would be a wise and faithful steward of God's resources. That means you need to be educated, and that's what we're doing here today about reverse mortgages. But we also always want to leave room for you to work out your convictions with the Lord. And for instance, as it relates to this topic, if your conviction is to remain debt-free, to get out of debt completely and stay there for the rest of your life, great. You do that. You'll always hear encouragement from us to that end. But perhaps there's a place for a reverse mortgage that you hadn't considered in the past. And Harlan's bringing some great educational information today to bring you up to speed on perhaps what you may have missed. Now, Harlan, one of those things that folks think a lot about in this area is, I won't get a reverse mortgage because I want to leave the house to the kids. So does a reverse mortgage always eliminate assets that could be left to children?
Well, it doesn't. In fact, in the research that's been done, it's usually proven that for those that do a reverse mortgage early in retirement, in their 60s, you're eligible at 62, of course, that you actually can leave more to your children or your charities. The fact is, just because you're using some of the equity in your house does not mean that you're leaving less to your children, because you can put more money into life insurance or into investments. Or one of my favorite things is you can give money away with a warm hand instead of a cold hand. You don't have to wait until you're dead to give something to your children to help them. And I'm a big believer in giving away wealth with wisdom rather than giving wealth away without wisdom. When I give money to my children now, I can have a lot of conditions attached as to where it goes and what should be done with it. A huge misconception is that my kids want my house. When I'm 90 and the kids are 60, the kids probably are not going to want the house. They're going to sell it. Yes. And the fact is that if they just want money, I can leave them life insurance. I can leave them a Roth IRA. I can do a lot of other things. And the same applies to what I want to leave to my church and charities.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Now, you have a chapter in the book called The Three Buckets. I'd love for you to explain that idea.
Yeah, the problem is that people are always thinking that I want to give my house to my kids. Well, bucket one is people's ability to make money. Bucket two, picture the one in the middle, which is the place where you put your nest egg, money for the future, savings accounts, IRAs, and so on. And then bucket three, which is your house. We actually pour more money into bucket three than any other place. Typically, it's 29% of your income. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so what we need to take a look back is, okay, now I'm in retirement or looking at retirement, where do I get money from? I can go to bucket one and keep working, or go to Social Security. I can go to bucket two and withdraw money from my IRA, or I can take tax-free money out of bucket three in a safe and careful way so that I will have more money in other buckets. That's the issue, is this is not about loss, but this is looking at the whole picture and how it works together with all three buckets.
Yeah, and that brings us to this idea about the mortgage payment, because another argument against this is this idea that, well, I have plenty of money, making the mortgage payment is easy, I don't need a reverse mortgage. So how would you respond to that?
Well, I'm a perfect example of that. I'm still working. I don't need a reverse mortgage, but I'm 63, so I did my reverse mortgage a year ago because I want to take my cash flow and put it into more giving, more investing, and more of helping our family while I'm alive and while I have the ability to generate that income. It's not wrong for me to make a mortgage payment, but if I don't have to and there are better uses for that money, I would rather lose equity in my right pocket instead of losing cash in my left pocket, because cash is more valuable and I can do more with it. You know, it's funny from a giving standpoint. I remember always getting the Salvation Army would always ask for money around Thanksgiving time.
Sure.
And I this year it came up and I looked at the sheet and I just gave a little bit more. I'm not patting myself on the back, but it was just easier because my $2,500 house payment doesn't exist anymore. So it actually allows me to give more and to help more, because that big obligation on the first of the month is not required for the rest of my life. That means I'll die, Rob, with less equity, but with more cash that I had to use while I was alive. Less in bucket three, more in bucket two.
Yeah, that's fascinating and a different perspective than we often hear. Let's get into some of the mechanics, Harlan. How old do you have to be? Is there an age limit? And how much equity do you have to be a candidate?
You always have to have more than 50% equity, and you need to be 62 or married to a spouse who's over 62. And then that allows you to either take money out in a line of credit that you might use once in a while, or in a monthly check, or a lump sum to pay off an existing mortgage. You don't have to use any of the money, but it's wise to have that set up to have it available, because the only thing you don't know for sure is, I've always told people, the only thing certain about the future is that it's uncertain. And it's nice to have that money available if and when you need it, for good things as well as bad things.
Sure. Now, for somebody who's saying, this sounds too good to be true, tell me who actually owes the money to the lender when somebody takes out a reverse mortgage. How would you help them understand that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's, from a legal perspective, this is called a non-recourse loan. And when I did my reverse mortgage, as everybody, I sign a form that says release of personal liability. there are no other loans that you release from personal liability. It doesn't matter if you have a car loan, a credit card, you're personally liable for it. This shifts the responsibility to two entities. The first entity is your house. So your house is responsible for paying back the money and the future value of the house. The second entity is the Federal Housing Administration Mortgage Insurance Program. If your house doesn't have enough money because you've lived too long or the value of the house went down, you are not responsible for it. Your heirs are not responsible for it, nor is your estate or your trust. That is a very significant difference and why this is a completely different debt than something that you are personally responsible for.
Yeah, that's helpful. What about taxes, Harlan? How are they affected by a reverse mortgage?
Almost always positively. First of all, any money that comes out of a reverse mortgage is tax-free. It's not income. It's technically borrowed money, even though you don't have to pay it back until a year after you're dead. It's still borrowed money and it's not taxable. It also helps out a tremendous amount. We just did a reverse mortgage for a Christian leader who was quite wealthy. He took money out of his home and put it into some donations to some of the Christian causes. So he got a big tax deduction and had zero tax income because he took it out of his reverse mortgage. So it can actually save you money from a tax deduction standpoint because of the interest and because of the giving. And it doesn't cost you money to get it out because it's tax-free as compared to an IRA or a 401k or some other taxable source.
Yeah, very good. And we're almost out of time here. How can folks get in touch with you, Harlan, or learn more about this?
Best place to go is simply movement.com/faith. And we'll be happy to field your questions, give you any other information of how this might be of help to you or your family.
That's incredible. Harlan, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Rob. Really appreciate the opportunity to get the news out.
Absolutely. That's Harlan Akala with Movement Mortgage, a national underwriter for this program. Harlan is the author of Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, The Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement. Again, folks, this is a decision you need to make with much prayer between you and the Lord, but hopefully this has provided some further education today about an often misunderstood product. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this, and that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks. The important documentary from the American Family Association is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This year has just flown by. I know. It's already November.
As this year comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on a Friday morning. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, let me just remind you here at the midpoint of the month, Faith and Finance is listener supported. That just simply means that we rely on your generous tax-deductible contributions to fund our work here to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money. If you'd consider a gift of any amount, and we mean that, whether it's $4, $40, $400, or $4,000, whatever you might be able to share with the ministry, we'd certainly be grateful. It's quick and easy to do that online. You just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and just click the give button. And if this ministry has been an encouragement to you, maybe you've found something helpful or valuable on this program and you'd like to make a gift, we'd certainly appreciate it. Again, faithfi.com. Just click give. All right, to the phones we go, to Texas. Hey, Reed, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a military veteran. Have a head injury. My wife just passed away in this year, March, and everybody's telling me I have to file a special tax return. And I have no clue what I'm doing. I've called H&R Block and other places, and they're not in service yet. So what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, have you generally, or you or your wife, and by the way, I'm so sorry to hear about her passing. In prior years, Reed, have you all filed your tax returns yourself, or did you have a preparer?
Ourselves.
Okay.
And this last year, I did an electronic thing. My daughter helped me do it online electronic return, but I filed jointly.
Yeah. Yeah. So generally what happens is the taxpayer, you know, when you're married, the spouse generally files a joint tax return for the year of death, claiming the full standard deduction and using the joint return rates. You know, that's typically what happens. But I concur. I think you getting a tax preparer would be a great idea this year, especially with some of the health challenges you have. Just make sure that that's done properly, and somebody that, you know, could help you prepare that each year and just make sure you're getting the full benefit of any deductions and paying what you owe, but not any more than that, certainly. So where I would head, Reed, if you're open to filing through a tax preparer or a CPA, is to our website to look for a certified Kingdom advisor. Now, you may not find a CKA that does tax preparation, although there are many of them across the country, but any of those certified Kingdom advisors in your area there in Texas, Reed, could make a referral to you to a godly tax preparer, somebody who shares your values and could help you, you know, prepare this return both for the current year and moving forward. So what you would do is just head to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. And right there at the top of the page, it'll say find a CKA, and that stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. And you can do a zip code search for your area, and then again, just ask for a referral. Does that make sense? Okay, looks like we lost that call. So, Reed, I hope that's helpful to you. Again, faithfi.com, find a CKA is the web is the link you're looking for, and just ask for a referral. I think this will be a really important year, especially, and even moving forward, for you to have a professional handling this for you so you're in compliance and not paying any more than necessary. Thank you for your service to our country as well, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Colorado Springs. Hi, Samuel. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Rob, for taking my call. My question is about my roof. I had a hail damage, and this roofing company came around my community and asked to look at the roof. after they look at the roof, they say it was damaged and need a full replacement. They asked me to give my insurance information, my home insurance, so they can contact them. I did. And they have been signing an inspection report agreement so that I should not sue them according to what they told me, and I did. But my insurance, home insurance, sent an adjuster, and they came in today and they did everything. They're going to send me the estimate. But it looked like the roofing company, I've told them that I do not have my deductible of $2,000, and I wanted them to offset that amount, you know, as an assistant. But it looked like they don't want to do that. So my question is, I mean, is this proper or legal for me to find maybe one or two other companies to see who can offset that that yeah. deductible?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Samuel. So let's talk about the way this would normally work. But let me just clarify, nobody's done any work on the roof at this point. Is that right?
No, not at all.
Okay. So what I would typically do is find a reputable contractor in your area. You could go to Angie's List at Angie.com, A-N-G-I, or, you know, any number, Better Business Bureau. You could ask around to friends or family or church members to find out who's got a roofing contractor that you can trust, somebody that somebody's worked with before. You can look at a lot of online reviews and make sure you're dealing with somebody that's reputable, especially because the insurance company is going to be paying most of it. So let's, you know, let's certainly get somebody who's licensed and insured and has really good reviews. And then what you'll want to do is have them give you an estimate for the repairs or the replacement of the roof. And I would submit that to your insurance company as a claim and get them to approve that estimate. And then what's going to happen is if you decide to go ahead with it, they're going to send the insurance company is going to send you a check for the amount of the roof repair or replacement minus your deductible. And then you will pay the contractor. And I would make sure you get everything in writing. And again, that, you know, you have the guarantees and you don't pay for the work in advance, but it does require that you come out of pocket for that deductible, because, you know, that's the way that's going to work. I mean, the insurance company is only going to give you the amount that's equal to the actual cost of the job, but they're going to subtract their deductible from that, which means you're going to have to come up with the deductible portion as you pay the contractor the full amount. So you need to work through your insurance company, get it approved, and figure out who you're going to work with. But you might need to delay this until you can come up with the amount equal to your deductible. I hope that helps. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Our human hearts long to connect with others, and yet strangely, sometimes we feel alienated from the God we love. Well, nothing will draw you nearer to God than holding daily appointments with Him. And this week on Pathway to Victory, we're learning how to breathe new life into our daily conversations with God. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for his purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're going to head back to the phones, continue to take your calls and questions. Let's go to West Palm Beach. Hi, Georgia. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes. I was calling to find out, I have enough money saved up to pay off my car loan, and I was wondering if that's a good choice to just get rid of it. The car interest rate was 3.84%. And I was just wondering if it just makes sense to just pay it off and then I can just recoup and save again. I still have money saved up even after I pay off the car loan.
Yeah, very good. I mean, it may be. Let's talk about that for a moment. I love the idea of you being paying this debt off, but we want to make sure that it's wise. And you hit on a key point, and that is that it's not going to completely deplete you of any kind of liquid savings. So what is the balance on the car, and how much do you have in savings?
The balance on the car is like $12,000.
Okay.
And in savings, I have $36,000.
Okay. And what would you say is roughly, you know, your monthly expenses?
And I do have those written out. My monthly expenses are basically, I think, everything. And I include gas and all in this.
Yeah.
Gas and food for the week. So I get everything. It's like about, I think, $2,900?
Okay, so $3,000. Yeah, I mean, so if you were to pay this off, you'd have $22,000 left. And, you know, $3,000 a month, that'd give you about 7 months, a little bit more than 7 months worth of expenses in your savings account. So that's great. Do you have any other debt that has a higher interest rate?
No. The only debt I have besides my mortgage is the car loan.
Okay. And are you contributing to retirement?
Yes, through school, through FSR. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I'm a teacher, so it's through the retirement system.
Yeah, FRS, Florida Retirement System. Great. Yeah, I like this option a lot, Georgia. I think this makes a lot of sense because, like I say, you'd still have 7-plus months worth of expenses. You'd eliminate that car note. Now you've got more margin on a monthly basis, so you could give more. You could save more. You know, you can enjoy that. Maybe you fund a Roth IRA that would supplement or be growing alongside the FRS as an additional asset for retirement. And you could set that up, you know, equal to the amount you're putting away currently paying toward the car and just have that automatically go into a Roth IRA, into a good high quality mutual fund. Another option would be you keep making that car payment, but pay it to yourself in a separate savings account that is the, you know, the Georgia car replacement fund, so that when that car's, you know, to the end of its useful life, you're ready to buy your next car with cash. What do you think about that?
I think that is true, and I know a lot of people do that. And here's the thing. The most important thing I got rid of that is I live in a villa, and the villa is 30 years old, and there's a sliding glass door in the back that leads right into my home, but the sliding glass is, I think, in dire need of repair. Nobody wants to, like, repair it. I've had companies, glass companies, that have come out and given me a quote, because what's happening is the rainy season has passed, but when it rained and the rain hits a certain way and the wind, I got water underneath the tracks of my sliding glass.
I've been there.
And if the wind is heavy, I can actually see my blinds moving a bit.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm from South Florida myself. I remember having lots of sliding glass doors, and I remember water coming underneath them. So I understand what you're saying. How much will that project cost? Have you found a contractor who'd be willing to do it?
Well, yeah. I went to two different companies and asked the price. So after two, I said, it seems like most of them will be around the same price. One quoted me $15,000, then another one quoted $12,400.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And so they have something with Wells Fargo where they said there's no interest for 18 months if you're approved. So you fill out an application online through Wells Fargo. They have a thing with Wells Fargo. And no matter what they do is whatever it costs, they divide that by 18 months.
Yeah.
So there's no interest for 18 months. So let's say that's 12 something. That payment is $720-something. And for me, I'm wondering if I'm stretching it a bit. I don't know what to do. That's pushing it.
Yes. I see. That makes sense. What is the amount of your car payment right now?
The car payment is $300. Well, I pay $300, but it was like $283.
Okay. And how much do you tip, assuming you're still making the car payment, because you are now, how much do you typically have left over at the end of the month in a typical month? Anything?
Yes. At the end of the month, that was $300. I think I have like $1,300, $1,400. I don't want to lie because I had done all of my paperwork, which is not in front of me. But I think I have like $1,400.
All right. So then, I like this a lot. I mean, I would do a lot of checking online, look for as many reviews as you can on this sliding glass door company before you go ahead. But assuming that checks out, maybe you get one more bid, you know, with somebody who'd be recommended. Maybe you find a general contractor in your church who could make a referral to you to a sliding glass door company that he or she's worked with and get a third bid. But assuming you determine this is a reputable company with good reviews, I like the idea of you doing the $12,400 over 18 months with zero interest. I just make sure you pay that amount in full every month. And you should have that because, you know, not only do you have $1,200 or $1,300 a month extra, you're about to have $300 more when you pay off the car. So I think that all makes sense to me, Georgia.
Okay, so because I'll have like with the car payment being paid off, I'll have like $1,500. So that means that having to pay them almost $700 a month, my disposable income now would be just $800 left over.
Right, but you've still got a healthy emergency fund of more than 7 months' expenses. You're debt free except your mortgage. You still got another $800 a month in surplus that you can add to your savings or your car replacement fund if you do that. And, 18 months from now, you'll have new sliding glass doors and you will have paid no debt or no interest.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. God bless you. Thanks for calling. Let's stay in West Palm Beach, actually. Peter's driving down the road. And do I understand this correctly, Peter? Is today your retirement day?
Yeah, I just called up today. I spoke to the guy, but I forgot to ask him the question that I want to ask you. I'm 65 and a half, so I made it there. But the only point is, I'm going to continue to work, and I want to know if I continue to work, does the Social Security still go up a little bit more as I work until 70, I think, right? That's the number.
Yeah, so you haven't taken Social Security, is that right?
Yeah, we're taking it. I should have a check in about a week, about a month, I guess.
Okay, as soon as you start taking your benefit, it locks it in. So if you decided to wait and not take it, and you may not have had that choice, I understand you retired today, but if you had not taken it, it would have continued to grow at 8% a year until age 70. So now that you've taken it, the only way for it to continue to grow would be two. Number one is the cost of living adjustment that happens every year. This year, I think it's 3.4%, you know, going into 2024. So the cost of living adjustment will increase it. That's going to happen whether you work or not. The other way is if you do continue to work and your earnings that you pay FICA taxes on for that year, that you're continuing to work is higher than any of your high 35. See, your Social Security is based on your highest 35 years of earnings. If your new earnings moving forward are higher than any of those high 35, it'll drop that off and replace it, and that'll push your check up as well. So those are the two ways. Hey, congratulations on your retirement. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at AFR.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment today, let me remind you once again, we're away from the studio, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions. Well, it's been a Florida day. We're going to Lake Worth. Hey, Bruce, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for all that you do. And my question is, paying my bills by check or by, through the bank. The issue is that, you know, my kids are telling me you're crazy to write checks. there's all that information on the check. And so I'm old school, almost 70. I have always written checks, but I guess, do I need to get with the new program and go online to pay?
Yeah, I love that your kids are telling you that. Come on, Dad, you're still writing checks. What are you doing? That's great. It's a double-edged sword, right? Because there's a safety factor in those not going through the mail. Now, we'll talk about that in a second, because just because you do bill pay doesn't mean it's not going through the mail in some cases. But there's this kind of other risk that you run by doing business online, which is, you know, somebody can compromise your account and, you know, hack in and those kinds of things. So let's talk about how you approach this. With online bill pay, you've got really two options. If the bank has the ability to do a direct transfer with your particular, let's say, utility company, and when you go to set up your bill pay, it'll tell you whether you can do an electronic payment and even receive your bills direct into the bank's website, then you're right. You would avoid the check going through the mail, which prevents the ability for somebody to get a hold of that envelope and, you know, access your account number and your routing number. But in many cases, the people you would be issuing bills payments to through your bank on their website, they don't have a relationship with. And so then rather than you just writing the check and putting in the mail, they're generating the physical check and putting it in the mail. It's still traveling through the mail and it's arriving at the, you know, destination, the vendor or the, you know, contractor or utility company that you're paying. So it doesn't automatically eliminate that possibility of somebody, you know, intercepting that envelope. Although it would certainly reduce the number of checks that are being sent because, again, some of them may be able to be paid electronically. Now, if you do this, then you need to also use best practices with regard to just doing business online, period. And that means don't use public Wi-Fi when you're logging into your bank. So you wouldn't want to do that from the coffee shop. You'd want to do it at home. And you'd want, you know, the WEP encryption, which you would typically have with, you know, typical internet service provider. You'd want to have a good, strong password and change that regularly. I mean, there's going to be some things you want to do just to be safe online. But yeah, I like the idea of you getting online and doing this because it will reduce the number of physical checks being mailed. And I think what you'll find, Bruce, is even though there's a learning curve, you know, so many of these things can be paid automatically. So you set it up once and you may want to monitor it, but you're going to recoup maybe an hour or two of your time every month just by not having to physically write out those checks because there's a lot that can be automated at the same time. Does that all make sense?
Yes, it does. I appreciate that advice. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, God bless you, and thanks for listening to the program. We appreciate it. Let's go to Indiana. Randy, go ahead, sir.
I have roughly, between my giving and product that I'm holding to donate to Salvation Army, we have potentially above $25K for donation. If we held it till after the year end, and then donate it after January 1st. We would like to make these donations then. My wife is very concerned that we may be audited because going through an audit process is very long and draining. So she is very leery about itemizing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I've been donating for probably 30 years to Salvation Army, but we have extra items to donate. So I'm concerned with her concern.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and I appreciate that you're trying to alleviate your wife's concern, and that may be the reason you need to do this. Now, if you were to just ask me without telling me your wife was concerned, should you be, you know, perhaps change what you were going to do in terms of your giving this year to stay under the standard deduction, I'd say no. I mean, even though 80 to 90% of taxpayers take the standard deduction, the fact that you're just bumping up against it and slightly above it, is that going to trigger an IRS audit, especially since this is a charity that you've been giving to for a long time? You know, it's not like you're contributing hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, you're barely above the joint filer threshold, and you're going to have all the documentation to back it up, you know, when you send it in. So I wouldn't be concerned about it triggering an audit. Could it? Well, of course. And you know, I'm not going to say that there's no way that you're going to be audited. And if, again, she's concerned about it and is going to lose even a bit of sleep over it, then just don't do it. Just wait until the following year. But I would just say, you know, from my perspective, I don't think this really increases your risk at all of an audit by you just being slightly above the standard deduction. You know, 10% plus is upwards of 20% of taxpayers take the itemized deduction, and that's what it's there for.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
Well,
thanks for your call.
Much.
You're welcome, sir. God bless you. Thanks for your being on the program today. Let's go to Naples. Sylvester, go ahead. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I contribute 15% to my employer toward to a 401k. It's a Roth 401k. And I just listened to your show, and you say it's probably better to split that, like do a little bit to a traditional, some of them to Roth. How that works?
But Yeah, potentially. And here's why, because we don't know what's happening to the tax rates in the future. You know, because when you're going to be pulling this money out, it's going to be down the road. I don't know how far away you are from retirement, but, you know, tax rates could be higher, could be the same, could be lower, probably not, but they could be. And we don't know what your income is going to be in retirement. So if you want to do some reading on this, let me direct you to soundmindinvesting.org. soundmindinvesting.org. What you'll see there is an article that I discussed recently with Mark Biller, who took a deep dive into this topic. The article is titled, Should You Use a Roth IRA, or excuse me, a Roth account, even if you prefer traditional? And he's really exploring this topic of why would you want to put in Roth after tax versus the traditional, or does it make sense to have both? And the conclusion, based on some researchers that really studied this in thousands of cases, came up with this formula. And it's just a rule of thumb. That's all it is. But the formula was that based on their studies that you should put, you take your age, you add 20 to it, and that's the percentage that you should put into the pre-tax version. And then you put the balance in your after-tax or Roth version. So if you're 50 years old, you take 50, you add 20 to it, that's 70. You'd put 70% in the pre-tax and 30% in the after-tax. And the idea that you have these two buckets to pull from, depending upon the tax code, your income, you know, how you're giving charitably, I mean, all of these factors gives you the most flexibility to do it in a way that minimizes taxes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You actually, I'm a 50, so you got, you know, I'm right there.
Hey, come on. That was amazing. Yeah. I did that.
Right. But I always thought it's like, because if you accumulate all this, you know, interest, the compound interest through all these years, so it's better to keep it as a Roth instead of do a traditional, because that way you don't have to pay any taxes on it. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's certainly, I mean, you can make a case for that, especially when you're younger. The offset to that, though, is that you're probably in the peak of your earnings potential right now in, you know, kind of this second season of your working life, and you're probably paying a good bit in taxes. And so you may benefit more from the tax deduction now at age 50 than you would from, you know, the paying the taxes now, because your income is going to be a lot lower in retirement. So I think you should check out this article at soundmindinvesting.org, and it'll help you think through this a little better. Hey, God bless you, Sylvester. Thanks for calling today. Quickly to Indiana, Gregory, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead.
Yes. I own my own home. I'm in my 80s. I just sold some real estate. I have been in invested real estate, geez, since the early 70s.
Okay.
And I sold some properties for about $750,000. And I wish I would have given it more thought before I sold it, because I found some other investment properties that I'd like to get into, but I didn't file the proper form to qualify for it.
Okay. How long ago did you make that sale, Gregory?
It was in August.
In August. Okay, yeah. I'm afraid that window has passed. So it's called a 1031 exchange, and it's where you take the proceeds from the sale of a property with capital gains, and you roll it into another like-kind property, so another investment property. And then you can essentially defer the capital gains by rolling 100% into this next property. And then at some point, you'd have to pay the capital gains. But if you keep investing it in a like-kind property, you can defer that recognition of the gain. The problem is, the rule says you've got to declare your intention to do this within 45 days from the sale, and you have to complete the sale for the new property within 180 days. And if you're beyond the 45 days, then, you know, you wouldn't be able to declare that intention, unfortunately.
I see. Okay.
Let's do this. I want to help you answer the rest of your questions, but I'm out of time. So you stay right there. We'll talk off the air, Gregory. Thanks for your call today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. We're out of time today. Let me say thanks to my team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood. Couldn't do this without them. Thank you for being here as well. May the Lord bless you as you manage his money according to his principles. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.